Hello, racing fans. Edison Hatter back with another episode of First Over with Edison Hatter. This time to discuss some Friday evening Woodbine Mohawk racing, Friday, January 14th, 2022. And I'm happy to be joined by my last Meadowlands colleague. It feels like we haven't gotten to. We have started with Ken Warkenton back in September. We then had Dave Little. We've had Dave Brower. We've had Jessica Otten, which means it's time we've saved the best for last. Andrew Shades Dembski. Shades, welcome.
Thanks, Edison. That's pretty flattering with the best for last. I think it was more of a scheduling thing, but I'll take that best descriptor right there. Thanks.
So, Shades, obviously our race listening fans here, especially a lot of harness listeners, obviously have gotten to know you from the Meadowlands and maybe even a little bit this summer from Tioga, but we got to take a bit of a journey back here to talk about your background. You really started in the industry, per se, on the thoroughbred side. Down at Tampa Bay Downs, came through Pennsylvania, then obviously, as we mentioned, went to Tioga and the Meadowlands. So give us a little bit of this background here.
Yeah, my first job really in horse racing, I came from baseball, doing baseball production work, and I wound up in a production room at Tampa Bay Downs, a thoroughbred track in Tampa, just directing the live show, basically. I was a technical director, just punching cameras and directing the show. I wound up at the end of that season in Tampa in front of the camera. And then I was offered a job as their race analyst the following season. So after doing some live TV in Tampa, I wound up in Pennsylvania at Presque Isle Downs doing the same thing as their racing analyst, another thoroughbred track out there. But I've bounced around. I was in Canterbury Park for a summer as their technical director. So I really came from the thoroughbred side. And when I actually wound up meeting Jason Settlemore at the Harrisburg sale, and he said he might have a spot for me calling races at Tioga. So I kind of sat on that for a little bit, and eventually the call came, and it's hard to turn down an opportunity to call some racing. So I wound up two seasons ago, my first full season calling racing at Tioga, which was weird because it was the pandemic year, and it was just me talking to nobody. It's weird to look out the window and see nobody there as your first season calling races, but it was really nice to have some people in the grandstand this past summer. And working down at the Meadowlands has been great. They've offered me a lot of roles. I wear many hats at the Meadowlands, not just on the TV analyst side, but I'm an assistant race secretary. I'm actually the race secretary at Tioga. I do simulcast management. I produce content for social media. So you know how it is. Jack of all trades, master of none, but that's fine with me. I'll always take that.
Wait a bit, Shade, speaking of which, here, opportunity for us to promote the Meadowlands a little bit here on the show. You talk about some content producing. So, of course, lately you've teamed up with Mark McDonald for a pretty popular online series I'll let you tell the listeners about. But in the past, we've also done some game nights, done a little bit of everything, as well as some Twitter-exclusive interviews, all sorts of good stuff on the Meadowlands social media channels.
Yeah, what's nice is they kind of gave me the opportunity to just kind of have some fun. They know I come from video production, so they kind of let me throw spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks. And last winter, I produced the Game Night series you mentioned. I produced a couple of Mean Tweets videos just playing on what Jimmy Kimmel's done for a decade now. Just having some fun with just kind of different content. And then this summer, Mark McDonald, he reached out to me, actually. And Mark said, like, you know, he knew what I was kind of doing and he knew I was kind of into that stuff. And we kind of bounced some ideas off each other of what might be fun to do. And we knew this past summer, and obviously up at Woodbine, they do a great job at the Mic'd Up series. I did some at Tioga. So we kind of played a riff on that. Instead of doing just a random person, we kind of gave Mark his own show. We called it Mark on Mic. And every week Mark wears a mic for a race, and we bring in another driver. So it's Mark and a guest every week. And so far we've produced six of them. We took a little break there around the holidays, but we got two new ones out in the new year already. And I will be recording another one this week. But it's kind of nice because we give you almost a good chunk of the post parade. So their thoughts before the race, and then of course during the race. So it's a nice little perspective of what the drivers are thinking. And some of the guys are getting a little looser and having a little more fun with it. We've actually had Yannick Gingras on twice now as Mark's guest. Yannick was last week's guest because Yannick is he's just a great smack talker. You know, that's kind of kind of what drives the series. If they could throw some shade at each other, it's a little bit of, you know, have a little bit of fun with it. So yeah, Mark's got a great personality. So I'm happy to be working with Mark this winter as kind of my winter video series I've been producing for the social media channels at the Meadowlands.
Well, Shade, some news came out today in the standardbred world that we'll pivot towards, and especially here as we are a show sponsored by Woodbine Entertainment Group, Woodbine Mohawk. Very excited to announce next October, the 28th and 29th, once again, the Breeders' Crown will return to Woodbine Mohawk Park. So, Shades, I'm not sure about you. I think this is a correct statement, though. For me, that was my first Breeders' Crown this past year at the Meadowlands, either working or attending. Is that true for you as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really nice to be around not just such quality horse stock in the back paddock where we get to see all the champions of the sport kind of gathering for Breeders' Crown weekend, but it's nice to meet a lot of the connections too on the human side, because so often here at the winter meet at the Meadowlands where I'm based, we don't get to meet a lot of the top trainers and their grooms and their teams behind the horses, but they're all there for Breeders' Crown, so it should be a wonderful event up at Woodbine. I think it's nice where everyone at the sport kind of gathers and, you know, brings the best of the best to the table. So it's exciting for Woodbine up there. Breeders' Crown rolls around right at the perfect time for me, because I get done with Tioga and all of a sudden I dive right into some of the best racing in the world. So really exciting for everyone at Woodbine. They'll have a great time hosting the event, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure. And, I think I saw Greg Reinhardt said on Twitter today, I think we can all agree with this sentiment. Hopefully by October, we're kind of done with at least a little bit more of this COVID stuff, and hopefully it's not too big of an issue for us to travel back and forth if any of us care to take the voyage up to Toronto to watch it, or likewise for our owners and trainers. So hopefully some of the border issues are figured out. But so Shades, since we are a gambling show here, I got to ask you, obviously I know you also enjoy gambling once in a while there. So obviously you've worked on both sides of the industry. Do you prefer betting on thoroughbreds, standardbreds, sports? Bet on anything? What's your take?
Well, I've always kind of said the only things I'll bet on are animals with four legs and dice. So it's really just horse racing and craps are kind of where I usually wind up making my wagers. In terms of thoroughbred or harness, that really doesn't matter to me. I'm not really a vertical player. Obviously, we'll give out, exact and try tickets occasionally. But I mostly stick with the pick threes, fours, and fives. That's kind of where I stick with the horizontal wagers. Usually when you can beat a favor or so, you'll get a little bit of money back. So I kind of stick with those sequences. And like I said, it really doesn't matter to me, thoroughbred or harness. But to me, the best way to play, and I think it kind of speaks to what we're trying to do at the harness tracks, especially, is bring people back to the races. I mean, it's nice to play online in the comfort of your own home, but being at the races is usually where I'll fork over the most money when I'm playing, when I'm actually on site. So I no matter where I am, as long as I'm attending a live race, you'll see me punching some horizontal wagers.
Yeah, much like that as well. In fact, I was just talking with a guest last week on the show here that I as well just am, I'm not a big fan of exactus tries. I have a tough enough time picking winners, but pick four, pick five, let me put that in, go get myself a drink, and we're good to go for a while. So that's generally the mentality I like to live by as well. But Shades, final thing before we get some handicapping of our own here. We were talking about this a little bit, you and I, before we came on air, but tomorrow here at Freehold Raceway, which technically we've kind of stolen a couple of these races from the Meadowlands per se, the GSY series, the amateur races. How about Statesman N and Dream Out Loud N going to have at it tomorrow? That's a pair of 15-year-olds. Dream Out Loud N, we talked about on the show before for our listeners, won 10 in a row out at the Meadows before being forced into retirement in December. And Statesman N went out a 13.5 length winner here over the Freehold track. But because it's an amateur series, kind of separate from those parimutuel races, it falls into that like fair matinee area where 15-year-olds can indeed race. So clearly, Shades, these are sound horses. They're, in fantastic form. So I personally believe that it's great that as long as they're healthy and happy that they can keep racing as 15-year-olds.
Yeah, I agree, because I remember it wasn't Statesman's final race at 14, but he did win a race at the Meadowlands in early December. And I talked to Yogi Sheridan there. And, you can kind of sense it. He's really proud of having the horse and doing so well with Statesman for so long. But you could sense he was a little upset that he knew it was kind of coming time where he's probably going to have to find a good home for Statesman. But now that they got the okay, to race them in the amateurs, that's exciting for everybody, behind that horse. So for me, because it's a horse I got to see so many times, here at the Meadowlands, it's very exciting for Yogi that he's going to have another opportunity to keep racing a little bit. Because like you said, he's in dynamite form. And you know what? There's not a lot of horses, the top horses in the game which is one thing I'll always say is a detriment to the game, is they race for a couple of years and they're gone to retirement. And you get horses, especially in harness racing, obviously the geldings, yeah, of course, but that stick around for a long time. And Statesman's one that has not only from a betting standpoint, but he's developed a fan base. People love seeing these horses week in, week out, these old veterans out there. So Statesman's one of them that actually has fans that will watch Statesman race. So to keep him in the game, I think, is only good for the game.
Yeah, certainly have to agree with you there, Shades. But with that, why don't we turn our attention to some handicapping of our own here. We have this 10-race Friday evening program to talk about at Woodbine Mohawk. As always, www.woodbine.com/mohawk/free-programs for you to get your very own free racing program to follow along with us. As always, we'll handicap the early pick 5 sequence, give out a couple of tickets, and then we'll also talk about featured race number 9 a little later on the card. But we'll start it with race number 1. It's Pacers going for $20,000. It's fillies and mares, 5-year-olds and youngers, 9 winners of 4 races, or $50,000 lifetime. And Shades, we're both going 3 deep to start the sequence. Little different numbers, 2, 4, 5 for me. You are going to use the 1, 2, and 5. So talk to us about your selections here.
Yeah, I did use my only sunshine on my ticket. That's one that you don't have on yours. I thought the horse just had a tough trip last time out, but drawing the inside, I think we'll be well positioned in here. 2 starts back on New Year's Eve. I thought my only sunshine raced pretty well. It drew well that day. It was sent forward by James McDonald, who's back and behind. So I think from the inside post, this horse could be a little spooky at probably a twilight price. One of those 4 or 5 to 1s ultimately is I kind of think where she'll fall in the wagering. And if she is 3rd or 4th choice, we can get her home. That's a good start to the pick 5 in here. Racing for the mark, it makes perfect sense in here. I think this horse has some class, just needs the trip, kind of a trip horse to my eye. So I think racing for the mark is a must use. I know you use this one as well. And State of Mind. I mean, State of Mind raced very well last time out. So the horse is kind of hard to ignore. Could win the race and not surprise anybody. So yes, I'm using a couple of logicals, but you're using the 4 and I don't have that one. Am I missing something here?
Well, the 2 racing for the mark, as you mentioned, definitely has some class, gets a little bit better post draw. The 5 State of Mind, your likely favorite, was the favorite at this level last time out and, you know, took over with a big brush there from 4th past the half and ended up having settled for the pocket and tough trip from there. But the 4 Patricia May was one that I kind of like. This is another one that if you look at those post positions lately, a lot of tough posts. Kind of some different attempts. It's, you know, look at those last 3 first quarters. It's been 7th, 1st, and 4th. So post 4 should give them more options here with what they want to do with this horse. And, you know, she's come home in some pretty good last quarters. So if she can trip out perfectly, I think maybe she could bring the upset here. So that's the price that I like to maybe kick this thing off with a real bang. So it's 2, 4, 5 for me, 1, 2, 5 for you, Shades. Now, race 2 here, we're going Pacers for $11,000. It's a claiming at $17,500. It's a field of 7 in here, and I end up using 3 of them. You're just using 2 shades, the 1 and the 6 for you.
Yeah, I think Stormy Hall, it could be the favorite in here. It's kind of tough. I mean, listen, I'm not getting too creative in here. These are the 2 that kind of stand out to me. But Stormy Hall is the one that will likely have to be caught when they turn for home. I think from the inside post, they have 1 option. The horse likes to be forwardly placed. So I do expect this one to kind of blast off the car and go straight to the top. So not too creative in there. There's just not many others I can really latch onto. The Shining in here has been racing very well in these claimers. I lost a tough photo. I got Doug McNair, the regular pilot in here, likes the track, could be very low price. So no, I'm not trying to get creative in here. I'll just kind of chalk through leg 2.
Well, I will try to get a little creative in here. You're looking at The Shining, your morning line favorite, who has failed as a favorite 2 of the last 5, has been beaten 4 of the last 5, all of which were 5-2 or less. So this horse has taken a lot of money. I'm going to take the stand against him and instead use the 1, 2, and 5. The 1 Stormy Hall, as you mentioned, this one may end up actually being the favorite, possibly. A nice win 2 back, and then, you know, the concern is last time out wasn't actually his last time out. He was scratched lame, so what kind of horse you're going to get there is always questionable, but from the rail, definitely a good draw. The 2 Gold Train has just had some tough trips parked out recently, and we get back 4 or 5 back. Those were much better trips. I mean, he's been parked out to the opening quarter each of the last 3, so post 2 has to work out a better trip for sure. And then the 5, Blue Monk, this one was closing with a pretty nice back half there in those claimers last time out. Got away 6th off the gate, 11 lengths back at the opening quarter, and only ended up being beaten by a length and a half in the end. The Shining finished 2nd in there, Blue Monk finished 4th, so now with a little bit of a better trip, maybe if he can be a little bit closer on, maybe he can get the job done. But I will try to beat this favorite. So it's 1, 2, 5 for me. You will go 1, 6 here in race 2. Now, race three, we flip to some trotters, non-winners of 3,400 in their last five starts, or non-winners of 7,800 in their last eight starts. And you will go three deep in here, the one, the four, and the six.
Yeah, the one time storm in here, just taking the class drop. And I think, you know, it's funny, as we talk about coming from thoroughbred racing to the harness side. I mean, yes, obviously, no matter what sport you're talking about, either one, you always look for class droppers. But I find on the harness side, the class droppers drop and pop quite frequently. So most times when I'm handicapping a card, that's the first thing I look for is class and what have they been in and what are they up against today. I think Time Storm is just in a spot where I'm not sure that he's been in this cheap in quite some time. So this is a pretty soft spot for Time Storm. Not the best of trips last time out from a tough post. Draws back inside. I think Time Storm is a likely favorite and very likely winner, but I'd love to try to beat Time Storm on the class drop. So I did use Profound Dragon. Tough trip last time. I finished up pretty strong prior trip. Another not an easy trip. Had to brush to the top after getting parked and wound up decent enough for it. So Profound Dragon, another one that catches a lot of eyes that last trip. But I did throw I Got the Looks in here. Just seems to me the kind of horse that can kind of pick up his feet late. And I do think the move back to the larger track is going to help I Got the Looks. And we get James McDonald in the bike. So that's just an added bonus to me. And this horse will likely be double-digit odds. So maybe we could beat one of the favorites with I Got the Looks in this third leg.
Yeah, for me, it's just 1-5 in here. As you mentioned, Time Storm is really hard to ignore. I mean, a big class drop, the rail, not much else needs to be said there. Pretty darn obvious horse. The 5 Harry, though, is the one. If anyone's going to beat him, I'm going to try that one. You know, the post positions have gotten better in each of the last three, and the miles have also gotten better, but I think in general, he's just kind of rounding into a little bit better form, so maybe tonight's the night you want him. It looks also to be a little bit of a softer spot for him compared to some of the company he's been up against recently, but he did only have one win last year for what that's worth, 0-2 here in 2022, but we will try Harry and Time Storm, 1-5 for me, 1-4-6 for you, Shades. As we go to race number four, it's Pacers, going for a purse of 18,000. Fillies and mares, 5-year-olds and youngers, non-winners of 3 races, or 30,000 lifetime. And it's a field of 7 here, and you will use 2 of them.
I will use the rail horse. I'm Kiara, is it? I was going with Kiara. Maybe that's her name.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Okay, I'm Kiara. Look, this horse, I don't love horses that are kind of trip horses from the inside. It doesn't really show a lot of speed, but you have to think will be a little more thoroughly placed in this race. It's kind of a short field. We only have 7 in here. So I think I'm Kiara. Just won't have as much to do. And she's really the kind of horse that picks up her feet late. So I'm Kiara. If she's well spotted, which I really think she will be in this race, I think she's going to be pretty tough in here. I didn't use the 2, Lady Aquila. Perhaps this one makes your ticket. I'm kind of curious if you like this one. I pitched this one in favor of just going with the 7 in here. Has all the back class. Hasn't raced in quite some time. I can't love the qualifier, obviously. But with all that class in this spot, I think Paula's Bet Hanover, even from the outside, should have enough early gas to blast off, maybe settle 3rd or 4th and work out a trip in here. For my money, I'll take this class horse to perhaps play upsetter. How'd you see the 4th?
I took a little bit of a different approach here, Shades. I just kind of went for the logicals and turned the page. The one I'm Kiara, something of that sort, and the 2 Lady Aquila, I will just take the 2 of them and turn the page, to be honest with you. They both have been racing in pretty good form lately, and obviously both of them with the inside 2 post position probably only helps their chances in here. So that's more the way I saw this, but definitely cannot blame you for trying to get a bit of a price. I think those inside 2 are going to take a lot of money. I think even the 6 will take some money. So if you can get your 7 home, you should be getting a pretty good price there for sure.
Well, I certainly hope so, because I tell you what, in the pay leg, I singled a horse, and so I need some value somewhere. So perhaps Paula's Bet Hanover might be that horse for me to kind of mix things up just a little bit.
Yeah, so race 5, those Pacers going for 20,000. Fillies and mares, non-winners of 10,500 in their last 5 starts, or non-winners of 23,000 in their last 10 starts. We have a field of 10 here, and I will talk mine first. I'm going with 3-9. The 9 Lions Tilt Hanover is making a pretty big drop in class here. Hasn't been seen this low in some time. She won 6 times last year. So the current form might not be spectacular, but you know, if we go back to November, she won against 9 winners of 25,000. This is a much softer field than that. So I like her here on, just on the back class. Obviously has to work out a trip from post nine. And then I also used the three, Newsday, who was also making a pretty big drop in class, was a winner at this level at Dayton back in November, has now had two starts under her belt up in Canada at Wood by Mohawk. And, well, I guess I'll leave it there, Shades, because that is your single to close out the sequence.
Yeah, and that's just it. I like the fact this horse won against very similar competition three starts back, has been just a little bit in over her head in her last two starts, and really didn't disgrace in either one. I thought the horse raced well enough in both of those, and just seems to me like she's just the best horse in the race. I know there's a few others who like to leave in here, but I think, you know, it's always every time you kind of try to predict a horse's trip, nine times out of 10, the driver has something completely different from what I'm thinking. But I think Doug McGuire likely just sends her to the top and she'll go right down the road. I think she's too good for these. I hope we put the best horse on the front and take her all the way to the wire in front, hopefully to close out my pick five.
Well, Shades, to recap those pick five tickets for you, it'll be a 1-2-5 with 1-6 with 1-4-6 with 1-7 with a single to the three. That's a $7.20 play for 20 cents. And for me, it'll be 2-4-5 with 1-2-5 with 1-5 with 1-2 with 3-9 for a $14.40 play. So, Shades, couple of off-topic things before we get to our featured ninth race. We'll talk that in just a moment, but we'll start with a little more Meadowlands promo while we're at it. Hey, this weekend at the Meadowlands, much like last weekend, how about 15 races both Friday and Saturday night? Admittedly, I haven't taken a look at them at all yet, but Shades, presumably you have. So anything in particular stand out to you this weekend on the big 30 races?
Well, we do have the, if you haven't watched in the past, the Martin Luther King Jr. Remembrance races are taking place this weekend. And there are four of them where... Well, I believe two of the four, at least. We do have kind of a mixed GSY / Martin Luther King Jr. Remembrance race where some of our amateur drivers will drive in that as well. But essentially during these races, we have all African-American drivers in the races. So it's kind of a unique thing. It's pretty special. We've been doing it for, I can't tell you how far back now we go at the Meadowlands, but that's coming up this weekend. So both Friday and Saturday, we're going to have those races. And yeah, as you mentioned, we had 15 each day, a very healthy box in the race office. Once again, it's nice to see so many horses entering here, which makes our job a little bit easier, putting the races together when you have so many horses entering. And as even you mentioned, some of the GSYs we're going to Freehold just because we have so many horses that we don't necessarily need all the GSY amateurs to help us fill the cards as of recently, which is really nice. So we appreciate all the horses connections for entering horses at the Meadowlands. It really helps us put together some pretty nice cards. And our race secretary, Scott Warren, he's just an absolute wizard in the office, because sometimes I'll be putting a race together and he'll find a way to make full field. So it should be a tremendous weekend for betting once again.
So, Shades, one other thing on the Meadowlands this weekend, and I'm thinking back, I'm not actually sure if I said this to our listeners last week, but, Shades, provide our listeners with some information on drag and drag reduction in particular at the Meadowlands.
Yeah, essentially what we're doing now, and last weekend was our first weekend trying it, and I think the drag has been, kind of a thorn in the side of many in the industry. So the Meadowlands drag historically has been when the clock hits zero, there's always about 8 minutes until the start of the race. Well, the plan was to just reduce that by half. So essentially now, when the clock hits zero, we have a new countdown clock. It used to be 60 seconds, but when the clock hits 0 minutes to post, the countdown clock is now 180 seconds. So you have 3 minutes from the time the clock hits zero, and you can't miss it. It's right there on the screen, counting down from 180 seconds. And once that countdown clock hits zero, essentially the horses are now turning toward the car and heading toward the start. So with that added figure minute, by the time it takes them to gather and get to the start, it's about 4 minutes. So what we've essentially done is taken our drag from 8 minutes a race to 4 minutes a race, and that really helps everybody. It's tough, in my opinion, to attract people to a game when you have so much time between races. What are we supposed to do between races? You know, it's just a long time. So it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment period for our players initially, But the big concern is when you do something like this is players getting shut out. But I think our TV department has done a great job in getting that new timer up there, the countdown clock. So you can't miss it. It's there and it's accurate. So pay attention to that. But yes, the drag reduction is now essentially cut in half as of last weekend.
Yeah, so definitely some good news there. And with 15 races, it's good to hopefully get us done as well. Obviously, we get some of those later races post 11 o'clock. People kind of get a little bit tired as well, especially on the East Coast here. So for sure, Handel looked very healthy last week. I can tell you that firsthand since I was charting last weekend. So I did have to enter that in the computer myself. So I can tell you firsthand, pretty good handles for both days. And hopefully that will once again continue this weekend. So Shades, final question here for you. I always have to throw a handicapping question, put my guest on the spot. And I got a good one I've come up with for you. And that is, how do you look at, say, driver changes? And I say this in the sense that, and in particular, I ask it because you are at Tioga, which much like I could ask this to Gabe Pruitt, there's a certain guy named Wally Hennessy that whenever he gets on a horse really seems to take some significant money. So, I mean, Shades, do you try to kind of avoid those kind of horses because they're going to take so much money because of the driver change? Or do you sometimes just think that even the horse isn't showing a whole lot, Wally really is that impressive that he can improve the horse that much that you should bet him?
Well, I mean, as far as that goes, I think, a great driver can't make a horse any faster. But a driver who's struggling out there can perhaps put a horse in the wrong spot or a good horse in the wrong spot and kind of take away that horse's chances of winning. So I don't think, top drivers can make horses any faster, but I'll tell you what, one thing Wally Hennessy does, as you just mentioned, is he always has the horses in the right spot to win. So he might take a horse that seemingly is now getting overbet. And you look at it on paper and you say, this horse cannot win this race. This horse can't pick up its feet. I don't care if Wally's driving or anybody's driving on a driver change. But those guys in particular, Walter J. Hennessy, he's going to have the horse in a perfect spot. We know he likes to send horses to the top, very much what we see from Yannick Gingras a lot at the Meadowlands. Some guys just, they believe we win more races up top. So you get really aggressive steers from those guys. So I love pitching horses that I don't think could win when Wally picks them up or you see, I don't love you. I never use the phrase, positive driver change. I hate when people use that because realistically, these are all like top guys we have here. But when you see a driver change to someone that you might like and you don't like the horse, feel free not to use them. They might scare you because they might be sitting a perfect pocket trip. But if you don't like the horse, I don't mind getting beat by that horse. I mean, this is a game of opinions. And if my opinion is I don't care who's driving, this horse can't win, feel free to pitch those horses.
Definitely some good insight from you there, Shades. And with that, we will turn our attention, last couple minutes we have, to that featured race we were going to talk, race number 9. It's fillies and mares on the pace, non-winners of $31,500 in the last 5 starts, purse of $28,000. It's a small but select field of 6. I definitely think we've talked about this type of top-level conditioned event in the past with some of these same horses. But a couple different directions you could go here despite the small field. And how'd you see this one, Shades?
Yeah, I mean, this is what's tough in here is that they all could win this race. Let's be honest. But you have a couple squaring off again, and I didn't get too creative. I think perhaps I actually have the 5 on top. Maybe Snow Shark can kind of turn the tables in here, as it really depends on, I guess, how the track is holding up, what conditions we get that night, because we kind of know what Parisian Blue Chip's going to do, right? I mean, while the horse has. She's shown the ability to kind of trip out. I think when you have a 6-horse field and you're arguably the fastest horse off the car, Parisian Blue Chip's gonna kind of blast away in here. I think Snow Shark's the kind of horse who might be able to trip out. Closed very well last time out, even slightly faster than Parisian Blue Chip. So if you're going to try to turn the tables, yes, these two were half a length apart in their last meeting, but I can't fathom why. And maybe it's because Snow Shark is not necessarily a win machine, although she has an admirable career record. I don't know why she never gets really bet. She seems to always offer value. Now today Friday, she'll probably be the second choice, so she won't offer too much value in here. But Snow Shark, I think, is the horse that I would play in this featured race. I even like the 6 a little bit. I don't know how to say her name. Trafalgar? I don't know if that's
Trafalgar.
Right.
Trafalgar.
Trafalgar. There you go. Why not? But even she raced pretty well in her last start in that common race. You know, for a few strides there, what I caught the replay, looked like maybe she'll go on with it, and just got a little bit tired, and that's okay. We'll see how the how Jody Jamison picking up the drive. I like sometimes a driver, and it's not. Like I said, there's no when you're talking about Jody Jamison and Doug McNair, it's not a positive driver change, but maybe she'll respond better to his handling. And that's kind of what happens sometimes. You see different horses respond to a different driver's handling in different ways. So I think that's kind of the value in here if you're trying to beat the two logicals.
Well, for me, I will land on one of the logicals, the 4 Parisian Blue Chip, who, much like last time, I tend to believe is blasting off and might just take them all the way. But underneath, I'm going to try a price. How about the one should have been a TD? You know, I've been high on this horse the last couple starts, and, you know, she got that major confidence boost down to the bottom level. She came back to win against Non-Winners in 9,000. Now, this is a major, major class hike. I acknowledge that. But, I mean, she draws the rail here. Maybe she can float away there pretty quickly off the gate and maybe end up sitting the pocket right the way around. You know, likely to be the longest price on the board, so... even despite the short field, that can be a pretty good exacta if we can get 4 over 1 home. But yeah, the 5 Snow Shark, definitely can't blame me for using. I've been pretty high on her as well the last two. Pretty happy to catch her on Boxing Day there. That little 4-to-1 price in the rail, I thought was a pretty good number on her that day. But for sure, some different directions you could go here despite the small field of 6. But I will go with the 4, Parisian Blue Chip on top. The 1 underneath for you, it'll be the 5 Snow Shark. I mean, with that, Shades, we are just about out of time here. That's a look at the 10-race program for the Friday evening racing at Woodbine Mohawk. Again, Friday, January 14th, 2022. www.woodbine.com/Mohawk/free-programs to get your very own free program for the Friday evening racing action at Woodbine Mohawk. Andrew Shades Demsky, thank you so much for being my guest tonight. And hey, I forgot, one last question we'll ask you here as we're parting is talk a little bit about where your whole shtick of shades, wearing your shades, as well as some of your clothing choices as well. Where did that all originate from?
You know, it's kind of funny. Shades actually came from, I think anybody who's dealt with the Twitterverse has dealt with some relative negativity. So my first season at Tampa, they're basically... my camera person suggested, hey, why don't you wear your sunglasses? Because, you know, you find yourself squinting at your notes sometimes, especially in the Tampa sun. So I put them on. And then probably the next week after I started wearing sunglasses on air, someone on Twitter kept knocking, and I'll quote, this shades kid. So I turned what was kind of a negative. I kind of pitched it to our team at Tampa. What if I run with this? So I do some graphic design and video work. So I made myself a little shades logo, a little shades animation. And they said, okay, go with it. And, you know, you kind of turn a negative into a positive, and I love it. You know, I like having fun with fashion too. I think horse racing kind of lends itself to that. That's kind of historically, I don't think there's anything you can wear to a racetrack and stand out. There's always going to be somebody louder than you, which I love, the horse racing fashion. So yeah, I think every time we get to go to a track and dress up a little bit and have some fun, that just makes the whole experience a little better. So the racetrack is a very unique place, and I like trying to be a unique figure while I'm at it.
Definitely a good story there, Shades. I actually did not know of that story as well, so I learned something myself. I'm sure our listeners did as well. And once again, Andrew Shades, thank you so much for your time this afternoon on the show. Hope you have a good week, work weekend up at the Meadowlands, and I will see you again next weekend when I'm back up there for some more work.
Sounds good, Edson. I appreciate you having me.
And do you listening fans, we'll wish you the best of luck if you're wagering Woodbine Mohawk this coming Friday, the big 15 race card at the Meadowlands, or any other thoroughbred harness, quarter horse, greyhounds, whatever you might be wagering on this weekend, the NFL playoffs, all sorts of options. So we will wish you the best of luck. We hope all your bets are winning ones, and we'll talk to you next time here on First Over with Edison Hatter.